and thanks for joining us on Chicago Tonight, Black Voices. I'm Brandis Friedman. On the show tonight, how advocates are working to organize and energize black voters this election cycle. And we hear from some local businesses hoping to raise their profile at the Democratic National Convention. And now to some of today's top stories. In a surprise move, Riot Fest is set to return to Douglas Park next month. The popular music festival had been scheduled to take place in suburban Bridgeview after pressure from some neighbors to push the fest out of Douglas Park. Neighbors had complained about noise and losing access to the park for the event. The Chicago Park District Board still has to approve the move at its meeting next month. The festival is scheduled for September 20th through the 22nd with headliners Fall Out Boy, Beck, Pavement, and Slayer. There's more of this story on our website. Some Illinois families involved in the child welfare system will be receiving at least $100 a month as part of a new guaranteed income pilot program. The program, Empower Parenting with Resources, will provide a monthly cash stipend for 12 months without restrictions. The stipend amount will depend on household size and the local cost of living. Eligible families will have been referred by the Department of Children and Family Services. The University of Illinois will study how the 400 families are using the funds to determine whether the cash benefit enhances stability and prevents child neglect and abuse. DCFS is a major funder of the program, run through the social service agency Brightpoint. Enrollment begins this fall. Bears fans, how are we doing today? Because last night, many of you were as angry as a sleeping bear woken up too early.
I haven't had a catch on him. I mean, something always goes wrong. I'm gonna get him, though, tomorrow, one-on-ones.
That's a look at the HBO series Hard Knocks training camp with the Chicago Bears Episode 2. It was supposed to drop at 8 last night, but the streaming giant didn't release the show until 75 minutes later. Angry fans took to social media to voice their frustration. At least one television set likely bore the brunt of it. Cable users, though, had no problems, able to watch the show right on time. No explanation for the delay has been given. And if you're interested in stories like these and more, subscribe to our brand new email newsletter, The Daily Chicagoan. We'll share the backstory to the news you need every day and help you explore your community and neighborhoods across the city you might not be familiar with. Head to WTTW.com/newsletter to subscribe. Up next, efforts to get black voters excited about the election. Right after this.
Chicago Tonight, Black Voices, is made possible in part by the support of these donors.
While a black woman at the top of the major party ticket for the first time in history has certainly energized many black voters, some organizers say it's not enough. A local church with the support of black-owned foundations is launching a strategic voting initiative and bringing in local and national star power like Reverend Al Sharpton to engage more black voters and encourage them to coalesce around one candidate. Joining us now with more on the event are Dr. Byron Brazier, pastor of Apostolic Church of God, Rufus Williams, host of The Morning Show with Rufus Williams on WVON, and Quanyel Shelton, a youth activist and intern at the Lewis Carr Foundation. Thanks to the three of you for joining us. Dr. Brazier, let's start with you, please. What is strategic voting, and how does that work?
Strategic voting was an initiative by the church to begin to move and to educate our congregation and the community about not just voting our individual personal interest or whatever issues we might have, but how do we vote for our children and our children's children? How do we vote in when we take a look at our community? And what would be the best candidate to do so? So it is an educational forum about how we strategically look at voting and the electoral process as a part of our ongoing work with the community as a church.
Okay, so voting for the collective good versus voting
naturally.
I think this or I think that.
Right.
Okay. Rufus Williams, you know, what is the goal? Why do we need strategic voting now?
Well, one, we need people to vote. It's been apathetic, the turnout in voting, whether it's here locally or nationally, and certainly among black folks. There are times when we talk about this being the most important election. This is the most important election. And when we think about what's at stake, considering democracy, considering all the things that we see in Project 2025, it's important that we educate, as Dr. Brazier said, educate the populace to understand what is really at stake, what the differences are. And please understand, Brandis, Dr. Brazier began this before President Biden stepped out of the race. He began this before Vice President Kamala Harris became the eventual nominee. So this was important even before, but it becomes more important now because we do see what the impact of this is, what the impact can be, and what the impact on our country, our democracy, our citizens, our future will be on this race.
And you mentioned Project 2025, Pastor Brazier, and then I want to get you in, Quinelle, but was how much of Project 2025 is sort of the impetus behind this effort? Or is it, do you consider it a good thing that you were already working on this because then you learned about Project 2025?
Well, it's more the latter. We're able to see what was actually going on. You could hear it in the words. You could hear it in the dialogue. You could see it and actually feel it. And so when they documented it, it was kind of like I knew it all the time. So the Project 2025 now lays out the formula for taking us back before the Civil Rights Movement. And I was born during that time. So I'm well aware, and I was a teenager, I'm well aware of what that felt like. And I coined the slogan to my congregation, I'm not going back. Back in March and April, and now the vice president is saying the same thing, and it is important for us to know, which is the reason for strategic voting, how do we now take a look strategically, not just at, you know, our grievances, because everybody has grievances, but when you take a look at the collective of the black community, what should the black community look at that impacts our education, impacts our economic development, so that we resolve our public safety issues that we might have, because a community that tends to have high education and high economic development will tend to be able to address their safety needs as well.
Of course, you know, to that end, you're having a couple of town halls. We mentioned a bit of star power that you're bringing in for it as well. One of those town halls is specifically for younger voters, Quinelle. What have you been hearing from your generation, your peers, when it comes to this election? Are they engaged?
Absolutely. Thus far from my peers, I've been hearing that people are looking forward to voting this year, especially for the different things that consist of behind it. Everyone is looking forward to just looking at the different candidates, how diverse and how different it is. And I've heard a lot of great things thus far, and people are definitely pushing the agenda to vote this year.
A lot of folks think that younger voters are kind of, as you mentioned, Rufus, apathetic, right? Like they're not that interested. Maybe some of them think their vote doesn't count, or why bother? Or they're just busy, right? Like, you know, they're starting their lives and they're still figuring it out. Are you not hearing that from other young people?
Currently, young people and just my generation in general, we thrive to be heard. And I believe that pushing the agenda just to be heard and having that opportunity to vote has been a big deal within my generation. And overall, I just honestly believe that we just hope that we are put into the process and just being heard within this election in general, and that we don't lose any opportunities for not just us, but our future generation.
Pastor Brazier, you all have a document. It's your Case for the Voting Initiative, and there's a section that deems the MAGA movement, Make America Great Again movement, as well as white nationalism and Christian nationalism movements, a threat to African Americans. And even just today, or recently, last couple of days, Trump campaign recently tweeted or posted on the social media platform X, formerly known as Twitter, two images of what neighborhoods would look like under Trump's administration versus a Harris administration. Viewers can see that for themselves right here on the screen. Does a tweet like this or a post like this make your case about nationalism in this election and white nationalism?
Absolutely. When you take a look at his platform, who is actually supporting him, who gives him money, and you can't deny where he's at given the insurrection, given all the things that he has said, given how he addressed President Barack Obama, how he now calls names of the Vice President of the United States, and his complete disrespect for the black community. The Project 2025 and everything he does continues to focus and to make it real concrete that African Americans are not on his list to support, or people in general.
Rufus Williams, the Black Lives Matter organization, we just had them here on Chicago Tonight Black Voices just last week, and the group has said that they will not endorse Vice President Harris for president. Leaders are planning to withhold their vote. A lot of their concern is over how she came to be the nominee, but also concerns about her platform, her history as a prosecutor. What are the consequences? What do you say to fellow black people who are expressing those concerns and considering withholding their vote? What are the consequences of withholding your vote?
Well, I think a few things. One, Black Lives Matter itself begs a question, a lot of questions, because who is that? Black Lives Matter grew from the movement after we saw police shootings. They had their own internal issues. So where they stand on all those things really is concerning. We find right now we've got a lot of people who just need to better.
And to be clear, they don't love Trump either, but they've got some concerns about Vice President Harris.
Withholding votes, particularly from an organization that's called Black Lives Matter, given the history of what it took us to get the opportunity to vote, it just flies in the face of everything and all the lives that were lost and all the people who were engaged to do so. Not voting is a vote. It's a vote that really diminishes a whole lot of other votes that come through. I heard people just today, people, knowledgeable people, talk about and ask the question of what is it the Democrats have done? And we can walk back through what the Democrats have done over the years, whether it's current or whether it's long term, that's been helpful to black people. So when it's wonderful as we have these deeper conversations here on WTTW, as we have them on WVON, to really get into the nexus of what is really at stake. And so in talking to people about and educating people, as will happen at Apostolic, on what the issues are and who's done, said, how this works, it makes it even more important as groups like a Black Lives Matter would make the statements that they do.
Quinnell, what is at stake for your generation in this election, for younger voters?
There are quite a number of things that are at stake, but things that really stood out to me and a couple of my general friends were things like losing possible government assistance, especially as a college student. We have the opportunity to have free government assistance, such as food stamps, and there was quite a conversation of losing that, which would be very, very unfortunate. So that's been one thing that could be at stake. And then just possible free rights and just different things overall. But there's quite a lot at stake. And that's why we have been trying to get together to make sure that we all vote.
30 seconds left, Pastor Brazier. You know, a part of your argument, as we've discussed, you know, calls for a coalescing around one candidate, Vice President Harris. But what do you say to the, you know, the many black Republicans who are Republicans and or supporters of Trump? What do you say to them?
Initiative is really about education. And if, in fact, you were a black Republican, that's fine. You vote your interest. If you think that is strategically in the best interest of African Americans, then please vote that way. And so our initiative really is to pinpoint all the different elements of our community and to be able to say whether you are voting age at 17 or above, or whether you are 90 years old or below, it does not matter. We should not be separated by age or gender.
All right. Thanks to the three of you for joining us. We appreciate it. Best of luck to you, Pastor Byron Brazier, Rufus Williams, and Quinnell Shelton. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.
Up next, how the DNC could mean big bucks for local businesses.
Make WTTW your home for 2024 convention coverage. Leading up to the week of the Democratic National Convention, find the latest news on our website at WTTW.com/news. And spend each convention night with us, beginning at 5:30 p.m., with live Chicago Tonight reporting and analysis from the convention before and after PBS NewsHour's primetime coverage. WTTW, your source for trusted, independent news and information.
Next week's Democratic National Convention is expected to draw tens of thousands of visitors to Chicago. And there's a lot of people, or that is a lot of people, spending a lot of money while they're here. Looking to get a slice of the economic action, as well as network with folks from across the country, are many Black business owners. They'll be providing a variety of different services at the convention, showing that, quote, Black jobs can be jobs of all kinds. So joining us now with more are Brenda Palms, president and CEO of the North Lawndale Employment Network and founder of Sweet Beginnings. Tamara Fair, entrepreneur, radio host, and co-author of the children's book series, The Purple Turtle. Fair will be hosting a daily podcast from the DNC. And joining us via Zoom, Lilia Key, founder of Lenore's Kitchen Catering. Thanks, everybody, for joining us. Appreciate it. Brenda Palms, let's start with you. Tell us a little bit about Sweet Beginnings and what you all are doing for the convention.
Great. Sweet Beginnings is a social enterprise impact business. And so that means that we were designed to address a social issue through a market-driven solution. And what that really means is that we've somehow landed on Urban Honey and honey-infused skincare products to create jobs for men and women who've been just as impacted. Back in 2004, when we established ourselves, we run a job training program, and it was incredibly difficult to find jobs for these folks. And so we thought, well, we're not going to let you down. We're going to figure out a way to create jobs for you. So we launched Sweet Beginnings to produce jobs to help folks gain the experience they needed to be competitive in the labor market.
And right now we're looking at folks who are working on the thing that you're going to be doing for the DNC next week, which is they are packaging and preparing the lip balms that are going to be in the goodie bags next week.
Yes, we have produced 10,000 units of lip balms.
Just 10,000.
Just 10,000 units. So it's a scale, we've proven scale now. We can do this. But we're just delighted to be able to have our product in a bit of the west side of Chicago, a little bit of North Lawndale in each of those bags, welcoming folks to our community. But the other thing that's been cool is the people that are making the product, the ones that have been making the lip balm, they have such a sense of pride. They know that people from all over the country are going to be able to experience a little touch of what they've created a part of their business. And we really just want to thank Microsoft and the DNC. I know there might be an opportunity later, but they've made this happen.
A little bit of B-love.
A little B-love being spread about.
Yes.
And that's Christy George and Tyler.
Executive Director of the Host Committee. Yes.
Of the Host Committee and Tyler Clark with Microsoft.
Okay. Tamara Fair, you're an author, entrepreneur, radio host. You've been hired by the DNC to host a podcast from the convention each day. Tell us a little bit about that. Who are you going to be talking to, and what are you going to talk about?
So we're going to talk about everything DNC, everything Black business, everything that has to do with this upcoming important election that's really got everybody talking about it. So we hope to talk to the mayor, the governor, everybody who's anybody, and everybody who wants to be somebody. We want to talk to them.
So where are you going to be in the convention
so
area?
So I'm not exactly sure yet where we're going to be, but I know that every day it's a different time, and every day we're going to have a variety of different guests. So we're really excited about that. My co-host, who's on the radio with me, Action Jackson is his name, we're going to be doing the podcast. And so it's about an hour, but the guests will know who they are prior to.
Okay, yeah. So that sounds like
a lot of fun. So I'll share that with you.
Yes, you will. Yes. Thank you. I'll be here, so I'll be interested to hear it. Lilia Key, your company, you have been providing catering services for DNC staff. Tell me a little bit about, you know, what sort of the events that you've been catering have been, and what that experience has been like for you.
The experience was great. We had the opportunity to cater for the staff a soul food lunch at that. And it was well received. All of the staff really enjoyed the food.
It sounds like, tell me a little bit more about that, because you're giving the staff who are from around the country, I'm guessing, a little taste of Chicago. See what I did there?
The taste of Chicago, yeah, the southern, all of the southern meals from the collard greens and cornbread to your macaroni and cheese and sweet potatoes and barbecue chicken and fried chicken and fish and potato salad. Oh, so it was a full spread for the staff, and I think a couple people went to sleep after having lunch.
Take a little nap, a little siesta. Tell me, Lilia, about how you sort of how you got into that opportunity. Was it a matter of application, or how you were able to make that connection?
Well, we filled out the vendor information, and our company was contacted, and we were, you know, truly grateful, and we went in and just did what we needed to do.
Okay. You know, sticking with you, Lilia, for just a second, you know, as a black businesswoman, you know, does the fact that it's A, the DNC, and that, you know, they're nominating for the first time in history, you know, a black woman to be the nominee at the top of either major party ticket, does that make it a little more special to you?
It does. It does. Just to be a part, it is very special to me.
Same question to you, Tamara Fair.
It is absolutely special to me. Shout out to AKAs, as I am a proud member of AKA. And to have Kamala in that seat, to be the first woman of color to be nominated for the presidency of the United States, I never thought I would see the day, but I'm so happy to be in this day and in the DNC up front and personal. So, yeah, this is super, super exciting for me.
Maybe you can get her for an interview on the podcast.
You know I'm trying, right?
You and me both, sister.
Right.
Brenda, same question to you. What does it mean to you to be able to participate?
I mean, certainly, as our guests have said, this is a historic moment for this country. But I'm also really excited, honestly, about introducing some of the neighborhoods that we have in Chicago. And we have 50,000 guests coming to Chicago, and I'm hoping that some of them decide to explore some of the neighborhoods that are so historical. So we are inviting folks to come and have a cup of coffee or tea at our Be Love Cafe that also features our honey, and come and see where the lip balms were produced, but also see the original Sears Tower. Come out and visit and spend their money so that we could actually, you know, see an economic bump that exists outside of just the driving force of the DNC, but what's happening throughout the neighborhoods in Chicago as well.
Tamara, what does this opportunity and the exposure at the DNC mean for you? Because you're an entrepreneur, so you're into a lot of things.
A lot of things. Well, for me, when I look at the fact that we have 161,000 black businesses around the country, and they generate $206.1 billion per annum, and we only make up 14% of the population and 27% of black businesses. We want to close that gap. We want that landscape to be more fair and equitable across the whole country. So we want to use the DNC to put a spotlight on black businesses and say it's okay to support black businesses. We're up earlier than anybody. We stay later than anyone else. We have to do better than any one of our business counterparts. And quite frankly, it is time for black businesses to shine. So that spotlight for businesses and for conventions like the DNC and other large conventions that have come to Chicago, yes, we definitely are ready for that focus.
And I think it probably helps that August is also, isn't it Black Business Month?
It is definitely Black Business Month.
Yeah, she knows for sure.
Well, I know that because
it's
31 days.
Okay.
So it's a little bit extended.
Right.
Yes.
Because right. Everybody knows that joke.
And to celebrate that, we're actually having a conference on Friday. And so we want to invite anybody who wants to come. It's a press conference. It's going to be at 4920 West Madison. And we have a lot of elected officials so that we can spotlight black businesses, not just for the DNC, but for the long haul.
All right, and I think we lost. Oh, there's Lilia. Okay, I thought we lost you for a second, but there you are. Good. Lilia, coming back to you, what does the DNC mean for you, and do you hope it'll have an impact on your business? Obviously, there's the day of the day that you did cater. She may or may not be frozen. Lilia, are you with
she's
us?
Still frozen.
Nope, she's frozen.
She's frozen.
Yes.
Okay, well, I hope she thaws out. but same question to both of you then. Are you hopeful that, you know, maybe down the line, this exposure now could mean something greater later on?
We hope so. I think, you know, oftentimes social enterprise businesses run by a, quote, nonprofit, people question our capacity to scale. And I think what we've demonstrated and what people will experience is a high-quality product in their gift bags. But then they might consider saying, well, this is a lovely social purpose gift. Why don't we consider, you know, doing business with them? And we ship everywhere, right? So the more business we do, the more people we can hire, the more that we can help people who have served their time, who have committed a crime, but certainly have served their sentence, to give them a fair chance to be working and be hired. And the more we can do that, the better we are as a society.
30 seconds, Tamara. Expectations for next week. Any concerns about the protests, the traffic?
No, neither one. Not the protests or the traffic. I think that people have the right to protest. But concerns, I am concerned about the fact that We need to make sure that we get the message out that not just in Chicago, but all cities where there are black businesses, they need support. We need the support of everyone.
And we know we have a lot of good support of Chicago businesses in Chicago.
It's not charity. It's business.
It is support. We're going to leave it there. Apologies and thanks to Lilia Key for joining us. We're sorry that we... Oh, there she is. Thanks, Lilia. Tamara Fair and Brenda Palms. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And join us next week for special coverage of the Democratic National Convention live at 5:30 and 10 each night. We'll go in-depth on the Harris campaign and hear from some of Illinois' leading Democrats. And that is our show for tonight. Check out our brand new email newsletter, The Daily Chicagoan. We'll have the backstory on the biggest news of the day and insights into what defines our city. Head to WTTW.com/newsletter to subscribe. And join us tomorrow at 5:30 and 10. We'll have much more on what to expect from next week's DNC and the issues voters are keeping an eye on. And Latin Restaurant Week kicks off on Friday. We visit a restaurant cooking up a brunch with a Caribbean twist. Now, for all of us here at Chicago Tonight Black Voices, I'm Brandis Friedman. Stay healthy and safe, and have a good night.
Closed captioning is made possible by Robert A. Clifford and Clifford Law Offices, a personal injury law firm dedicated to preserving the dignity and rights of all individuals.